Okay, hello and welcome. This is the SDF Amateur Radio Club Weekly Net number 424 for the 9th of February, 2026. That's Sierra Delta Foxtrot, the Super Dimension Fortress. And if you're unfamiliar with SDF, it's a public access Unix system that you can learn more about by directing your web browser to sdf.org. I will pause for a few seconds now for priority traffic or to allow you to disconnect from the conference if you do not want to stick around for our net. I am Alpha Bravo 9, Foxtrot Juliet, the net control operator today. My name is Wayne. I'm located in Urbana, Illinois, and my SDF username is JWH. When you check in, we like to know your call sign, your first name, your location, and your SDF username if you have one. And if you don't have one, why not? Yeah. Anyway, I think everybody here has heard this spiel before, so I'm probably going to skip through some of it here. This net meets every Monday. I'd like to thank Michael, November Zero, Victor, Zulu, Charlie for allowing us to use this conference for our net. This is a directed net. Give your call and wait for acknowledgement. Our net is open to all licensed amateurs. We'd like to have a topic of the week, but I didn't think of one. I had half of a topic on my mind there. Our local club meeting is Tuesday, you know, a couple days from now, and we're going to have some kind of presentation about batteries. So I sort of thought that maybe that would be a potential topic for discussion here. Do you use batteries for backup power? And if so, what kind do you use? I'm thinking that old school we used lead-acid batteries like car batteries or boat batteries. In recent years, we've had some new technologies coming along. AGM, glass mat batteries, maybe some lithium ion, and now we've got lithium iron phosphate batteries and some more stuff on the horizon. So anyway, if you've been experimenting with battery power, I guess that would be a topic for this week. Let me reset the timer here. Right, so let's see how to do check-ins. Well, everybody here has been here before. You know how we do this. So I'm going to run down the list here. I have PY2BIL. I have KC1TCA. I have KF6GPE and K0BIT. Not a huge turnout this week, but it's Super Bowl Sunday, so what you going to do? All right, so let's start out with KF6GPE.
Good day, Wayne in the net. Batteries, I've got on both the upstairs Windlink station and downstairs in the radio in the kitchen, I just have medium-sized sealed lead-acid batteries, you know, the things in the plastic boxes that are about 6 centimeters by 12 centimeters by 12 centimeters. And they get me through small to medium-sized power failures. So the Windlink station upstairs for the PC running on, I've got a NUC, and the NUC actually runs off of a uninterruptible power supply, just so I don't have to deal with anything fancy about charging and stuff. And that lasts 2 to 3 hours, so the NUC doesn't use that much current. I think actually the radio probably dies now before the computer does. But yeah, that's about it. For big power backup, we don't have anything like a Tesla wall or any of the big systems like that. We do have a generator that's not hooked up to the standby generator, but I can run extension cords and stuff too. And I'll recharge our Gold Zero battery packs off of that. We have 3 big Gold Zero battery packs that I can lug around the house to run lights and stuff like that. Those are, I guess, I don't know how big they are, but they're the 30-pound kind that are either lithium-ion or lead-acid batteries that have a reasonable current capacity that will charge a laptop about a half dozen times. Back to net control, KF6GPE.
Okay, thank you, Ray. Sounds like you're pretty involved there. Got lots of stuff going on there. Sounds good there. Next on my list is KC1TCA.
Hi, Wayne and all. This is KC1TCA, Rich in East Falmouth. My SDF username is RFX. As far as batteries go, I have not a lot of experience with them. I've got a lot of Eneloops. We switched to using those rechargeable batteries a while ago, and for the most part, we got rid of dealing with alkalines, or disposing of alkalines, really. They've been working great. Some of them are starting to get a bit old, and so they're not hard at holding charge as much. The other thing I've got is a lot of Makita power tools, and those batteries are really great. And I have some adapters, so we can use those for various other things, even though they're probably not very well engineered. And it's a little bit risky, but that's life. I also have some sealed lead acid batteries that I was running our Arden mesh nodes on for demos. And they will last about 2 hours or so, 3 hours per battery, and they're okay. But ultimately, struggling with, we wanted to get a Powerwall before all of the stuff happened politically, but I was looking at getting a Powerwall and a solar array for the roof, and I was very excited to get that, but it didn't work out. Our house is just not in a position where we're going to get enough sun for that to be useful. I'm going to hold on for a second here. We've sort of solved the problem in the short or long term. I don't know what you want to call it. But I got a pair of these. I guess they're kind of like the Goal Zero battery packs. They're Anker Solix 1,000 amp hour battery packs. We have a pair of them, and I can run we have two refrigerators just as a consequence of having done a particular renovation. We couldn't reuse our old one, and we haven't gotten rid of it yet, but I can run one of those for about eight hours or so off one of these battery packs, and they supposedly charge in an hour, and I can charge them in the back of our Toyota. And so that's the solution, is that we just sort of swap these battery packs as necessary to keep our food cold. And that's the only thing that we really have to worry too much about, except in the summertime, if we have a power outage for some whatever reason, then it'll get hot. But we have battery-powered fans for that. But that's basically it. I haven't messed with the lithium iron phosphate. These Anker Solix are lithium ion, and I wish they were the lithium iron phosphate, just because the flammability on those is... they're more stable, they weren't available, so I got what I got, and we're just going to hope for the best. So that's basically it. Back to you, Wayne. Good to be here with you all. KC1TCA out.
Okay, thanks, Rich. The technology progresses and advances, and you buy in at some time, and you kind of have to live with it until it's time to replace, depreciation. You wait for it to be used up, and then you upgrade to something new. Yeah. Let's see. Next on my list is PY2BIL.
Hey, hi, everyone. This is PY2BIL, Guillermo, out of São Paulo in Brazil. SDF username, G. Carmeri. So it's been quite some time that I haven't showed up here. So, yeah, it's summertime, vacation time. I traveled a little bit to my home country, Argentina, visit family and friends. So, yep, I've been busy with other stuff here during summertime. Now we are back to normal. And regarding the topic of the week, batteries. Yeah, I don't have big battery systems here, even though we have some power failures, not due to ice or snow, but due to rain. And so I have three units, UPS, standard UPS office grade kind of units there, just for my computers and the Raspberry Pis and routers and that stuff. And they last about 15 minutes, that's all right. So it gets me a lot through those little breakups in power that we see here locally. So everything stays on, and we don't suffer anything from that. Now, if the power fails, then yeah, after that I'm done. So we don't have too many of those, though. And then I have a few batteries I use for my soda activation. Those are the today. Well, I have an older lead acid one, but I don't use that so much anymore. I use the lithium and iron phosphate ones, which are great. So a lot smaller, right, more stable, and all that nice stuff. So, yeah, I'm happy with those for my sword activations, and they weigh a lot less, so it's easier to carry around. So that's all on my power management here. Back to you, Wayne. This is PY2BAL.
Okay, thanks for your report there, and it's good to hear from you again. I should say for myself here, I have a few UPSs that use sealed lead acid batteries. Many of them, though, the batteries are probably dead. I need to replace them. And either pay a lot for brand new batteries, or there's a place in town where I understand that you can get batteries that have been cycled out of like emergency lighting usage. If you go anywhere like a theater or a government building, an office building, then there will be lighted exit signs to tell you where to go if there's a fire or something and you have to get out there. And all of those lighted signs need a battery to keep power them. And they don't wait for the battery to die before they replace it. They have a schedule. They'll go in and, after X number of months, they'll assume that the battery is in need of replacement, and they'll buy new batteries and send the old batteries to the local vendor, and sometimes you can get a good deal on those batteries from the local vendor instead of them recycling. So anyway, that's for, sealed lead acid batteries, which are kind of old technology. And I think, like everybody else here, I'm looking forward to moving to lithium iron phosphate. There's talk about sodium technology, supposed to be much safer than lithium, so we'll see about that. But anyway, lots of interesting things you can do or study about batteries. So next on my list, actually not last on my list, it looks like this is going to be a short net, K0BIT.
Good evening, everyone. This is Craig, Kilo Zero, Bravo, India, Tango, currently in New Orleans, Louisiana. So my STF username is Craigify, Craigify. I was listening to what everybody else had to say about batteries. So I'm actually running off of battery right now. So this radio, I'm on a little AC, but my anybody who's maybe listened to me before, get on this net. I use an Ultstar node and hooked with an Echo Link channel driver. So so here's the story behind my battery setup. And I'm actually on lead acid batteries right now. So I'm going to reset. Give me a second. Okay, so I have a lead acid. I have three Trojan. I think they're like 1275 or something there. I'm on a 12-volt system. And I have about 225 usable amp hours. It's not that much. And so when I... There's a story behind this RV. And, I could, do this neurodivergent data dump on everybody here. I think the important message is that I had some experience with off-grid stuff before in a previous RV that we built, a school bus conversion, and I took my knowledge and I transferred over to this one. So everything in here is 12 volts. That's our primary operating voltage. All my computers, I heard somebody say about Raspberry Pis, I have some low-power computers here, laptops, screens, everything in here that's the primary lighting and everything is, and all the other stuff that I've added is 12 volts, including radios. So big radios and small radios, including an HF radio. I do have an inverter, And actually, this is an aggravating part, is the inverter broke. And it was the Ames power inverter. I had to buy another one. And I did wire up the outlets directly to the inverter, but running the inverter is automatically it drains power, and it's not 100% efficient. So instead of converting from AC back to DC, and then another DC to AC, and then DC again, I wired everything in here to be off-grid and 12 volts. And this is really, really cool. So I plan on moving to lithium iron phosphate after these batteries go bad. So I think that's enough data dump for everyone. So it's K0BIT, back to net.
Okay, that sounds very interesting, Craig. Let me just make sure I understand here. Are you living in your RV, or is this just a vacation vehicle?
So it's in my driveway right now. The last, I'd say, 2 years, we haven't been very mobile, but my wife and me, we have no plans to sell our house. She is from Minnesota. I'm from Louisiana. And what we have done over the past couple of years is we've traveled and lived out of our school bus conversion. So we basically would be here in the winter, because who wants to deal with a place like Minnesota in the winter? And we just bought this because we needed some more room. And, you know, the bus is a little bit too small. It's not a giant bus, kind of a smaller bus. So this year, starting in the spring, we intend to do some extensive traveling in the Midwest, up to Michigan, and maybe even a trip to the Pacific Northwest. Wait, how do we say that? Up around Seattle, like up in that area. So we would do some extensive traveling and living out of the motorhome, yes.
Okay, sounds very interesting. Thank you for sharing. So, let's see here. I think I've given everyone a turn. Do we have anyone who wants to reach it?
KC1TCA.
Go ahead, Richard.
I was wondering, Craig, if you've got like a web page or anything that talks about the electrical systems that you put together. They sound pretty interesting and something that I'm interested in. Maybe not doing in my house, but just in general. I also have been staying, the last couple of years, we've been staying at a cabin up in Vermont for vacation. So we live at the seashore, and so we go up to the mountains for vacation, and the cabin is completely off-grid. And it's also a 12-volt system. It's got something, they call it a solar house, but it's got a shed out in the out on part of the land. It used to be an old farm, and it's got three cabins, and it's got a big battery array in there, and so it just charges up during the day. And everything's electric except for the refrigerator and the heat. The heat source is propane. The refrigerator is propane. It's really big, but it is very interesting. All the electrical stuff on, there's three cabins on the property, and they're all powered by electric except for, like I said, except for a little bit of gas, but it's pretty cool. But anyways, Craig, I was wondering if you had that stuff available for looking at. KC1TCA out.
Okay, I'm just going to go answer. Hey, I think it's KC1TCA, the Rich, huh? Okay, so that is on my list. My to-do list. I have two domain names. I've got craigify.com. I've got craigify.net. And I also bought my call sign, k0bit.com. And I plan on doing that, actually. I have tons and tons of pictures of our school bus conversion. I want to go in and describe all the stuff that we did for that. I'm not talking about, like, YouTube or anything. You know how you got all that stuff? Like, I'm not into that. I don't even want to use YouTube. I want to kind of maybe just have some pages about what we did. And I actually really do plan on that. So I'm glad you asked me. That kind of helps me get a little motivated to write this stuff up. I want to go and talk about all the stuff that we did, and I also want to have another one for all my amateur radio adventures with all of the software that I've got and stuff that I'm doing, and I want to publish all of that on the other website. So, sorry, I don't have it now, but I can talk to you. Like, if we I don't know if you can email or whatever, but we can email back and forth or something like that for now, but I don't have it yet. Back to you.
Yeah, let me just jump in and say I'm sorry I kind of dropped the ball there. I should have coordinated the transfer between Rich and Craig there, but I was kind of just sitting back and saying, you know, let those guys talk together. Anyway, back to you there, Rich.
Hey, Wayne, you don't ever have to apologize. Thanks for doing everything that you do for us. Craig, yeah, I was just curious. When you post stuff, I would be interested in and knowing about it, so maybe that'll even motivate you extra. Just mostly to peruse. I don't, like I said, I don't really have any plans right now of doing anything with our power. So it's more of a curiosity than anything. And it does sound interesting. I guess if you're in an RV in the driveway and you've been living out of a school bus, that says a lot about what your driveway must be like. Kind of interesting. Okay, KC1TCA out. Thanks, all.
Okay, thanks, Rich and Craig. And it occurs to me, I don't know if you guys hang out in Com very much, but there's a user in there named Kuma, K-U-M-A. And I don't entirely understand her living situation there. She is married and has a husband. The husband seems to live in a house, but she lives in an RV parked in the driveway. So without getting too soap opera-ish there, her home is on 12 volts, and she's able to use computers, and she hangs out in Com a lot. So if you ever bump into her in Com, you know, you might ask her about her power arrangements there. So. Right. So let me go back and see if, Craig, do you have anything else? Or Craig or Richard, either of you, have we kind of wrapped up that particular sub-conversation?
Okay, I'm going to answer. Hopefully I don't walk over Rich. I think so. Well, I mean, I don't know if we... I need to get on the Com. What is it called? Commode. I've tried using it, and I feel like I don't know. It doesn't. I tried like Control C. That doesn't work. I don't know, man. I don't understand how it works. But I would like to get on there. And Rich, Craigify is my email. Can somebody give me Rich's username? Maybe I'll send him an email. Back to you.
Rich, why don't you tell him?
Hey, yeah, I just put it in the chat. It's just RFX. It's slightly shorter than my actual name, R Fox, but yeah, so that'd be great. My experience with Com has been you keep the H key really handy, because I constantly screw up whenever I'm in Com. I haven't used it enough to get natural with it, but you're right, it is not what I would call intuitive. But if you just sort of keep the cheat sheet there next to you, it gets a lot easier as you go along. KC1TCA.
There are a couple of cheat sheets or help files, and I will email them to both of you in case, just to make sure that you see what is available there. But it depends upon your being able to connect to SDF, like with SSH. A terminal command line interface kind of access. So it's kind of old school. It's not like IRC, and definitely not like something like YouTube or Facebook, anything like that. It's very very simple, low tech. So like I said, I'll send you a couple of help files. And that may answer some questions that you have there. So let me go back, see if either one of you has any reply to that. Okay, I guess not. So one more time for anyone else who wants to have a recheck there. Maybe Ray or Guillermo has something to say.
KF6GPE.
Go ahead, Ray.
Wayne, if you could add me to the list of people you send the comm sheet to, I'd appreciate it. Thank you. KF6GPE.
Okay, no problem. Now, the files that I'm talking about, one of them is part of the SDF.org webpage. It's the comm is not IRC. And the other one is CAT's Guide to Comm. So I didn't write either of them, but I just keep them handy in my web server space on SDF so that I can redistribute them to new comm users. So, and they're both kind of old, and they're mostly still valid, but there might be a few little things that have changed over the years. But probably nothing significant, really. So, let's see, do we have any other rechecks before we wrap up the net here? Okay, I think that this will wrap up. Something's going on with SDF and COM right now. It's not just lag. It's something weird going on. Anyway, this concludes this week's SDF Amateur Radio Club Weekly Net at, let's call it, 0031 UTC. This is Net Control Station AB9FJ saying 73, everyone.
Thanks for taking the net, Wayne. See you next week, KF6GPE.